Good morning and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues on 91.3 Sports FM. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporters group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Mel Hall, joined today by Jesse Goldworthy and Simone Ireland. On the show this morning, we look at Blues and AFL news, who's putting their hand up for the twos, and we preview the upcoming game against the Hawks. Our special guest interview today is the first ever father and daughter selection, Abby McKay. And like always, we always cross live to the hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the much anticipated The Shirt Front. We provide you all the information on the WA Blues upcoming events and anything else we can squeeze into the footy, anything footy we can squeeze into the hour. But Jesse, we couldn't do this without our loyal sponsors.
No, we couldn't. Morning to you, Mel. Morning to you, Simone.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We thank the WA Blues major sponsors, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Frame, Framers Cannington, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers, and ICU Finance Group.
And before we move on to Blues news, we would like to a big warm welcome to Simone, your first time with Brekkie with the Blues. Simone, can you tell our listeners how you first initially became a Carlton supporter?
Oh, yes, but have we only got the hour? Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate getting a Guernsey to join you this morning. I guess my story of becoming a bagger started in 1975, when I was born. I was born in Carlton and raised by a Carlton family. In fact, all my cousins, aunties, uncles, parents, the whole shooting match are baggers. So I come from a family of 100 years of Carlton supporters. There was no other option for my children either. And as you good. Guys might realise, it's really difficult raising kids in WA to support Carlton.
Yeah, I'm a victim. We all know that.
But it's good. We're a good little group here in WA.
Yeah. But I'm very happy to announce that the next generation of my family is baggers.
Oh, very good. We love it.
Awesome. And Jesse, we're going to move straight on to the Blues news and updates.
Yeah. So with Blues news, it was a good little week for down at Icon Park with a couple of signings and a few extensions with Alex Murkov and Corey Durden. Both on the same day, signing a 2-year extension. And also during the week, Jack Carroll.
That's what I saw yesterday,
WA boy, I think he comes from where...
East Freo.
Yeah, East Fremantle, up where Paddy Cripps' family are from as well, I think.
I believe he comes from Northampton Way.
Good to see. It's good to see also some young talent real locked in early. You know, we saw Walsh before the season had started. Now we've got Murkov, who looks like he's going to be a development player for us in the long term. And Durden started the first two rounds off beautifully. I don't know what you guys have thought of him, but I think his pressure acts up forward. He's been brilliant.
He's been fantastic.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely. When do you reckon Carroll will get a call up?
I think it'll be soon. I think he had a little niggle, a hip or knee niggle or something just recently, which has sat him out for the last couple of weeks. He didn't play VFL last Friday afternoon, but I think he'll be in the mix pretty soon. This Sunday as well will mark Michael Voss's 400th AFL game as a player and coach, so we wish him well. Hopefully the boys can get up against the Hawks for that. Carlton fans also have a chance to farewell two greats at the club in Mark Murphy and Eddie Betts half an hour before the bounce down on tomorrow. So what would that be, 12:30, something like that, maybe, I think, half an hour before. I think it's 1:10 game.
It'll probably be about 10:30.
So, yeah, look, hopefully all the boys can
use motivation.
Yeah. Obviously, send off Mark Murphy because he didn't really get much of a send off, I should say, in his last game that he played last year when we got smashed against Port. So to give him an actual sort of farewell, and Eddie in front of the G. It'll be good. I can't wait for it.
In front of a packed house, it'd be wonderful for our Victorian comrades.
Yeah, especially seeing they've missed out on so much football in the last few years. And obviously Chris and Craig are over there, so
they
wish them all the best for tomorrow. Hope it's a good day.
They'll have a cracking day. But, Jess, I just was touching on what shirt to wear today.
I've got
Murphy on today and I'll wear Eddie tomorrow.
Yeah, so. And they're two good shirts, actually.
They are.
The long sleever and the short sleever. But to the game tomorrow, obviously we've had three outs, three in. So Plowman, Chera, Young come back into the side. Plowman, I can understand. We probably need that extra tall defender down there with Govan McDonald coming out. And Lockie Fogarty makes way, which he went all right last week, but it's just testament to the way the team's rolling at the moment. The squad looks like they've got some good depth. How will our defence hold up again? It seemed to hold up pretty well last week. Obviously, now we're losing McGovern and McDonald, I think. You know, it's an interesting phase. Lewis Young comes in for his first go. So.
That's going to be, those guys have really hit their straps, the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you know,
they have.
So
they
it's going to
really
be interesting
good.
To see who we, we've got Young coming in.
Yeah.
And who's going to come in for Gov?
Plowman will stay on the side and fill that spot down, probably play that more intercept sort of role and lock down when he has to. The engine room, we finally get to see Chera, Walsh and Cripps in there. I don't know what you guys think of how that might play out, but I'm really excited for how that'll go.
It's so exciting, so exciting.
We've seen glimpses of, Chera in round one, and Walsh seamlessly just slots back into the side with 34 touches last week.
Didn't he just go under the radar?
He did, didn't he?
Like, it was just, and this is Walshy we're talking about, guys.
I think
it's just crazy.
Cripps is stealing the show a little bit
back
at the moment.
Mode.
Yeah, back in beast mode, which I love. Lee Montagna the other day was talking about the big flex after the game and everything. I'm loving that. Someone who's been really underrated and probably hasn't got enough praise yet is Pitto.
That's who I was just going to say,
Yeah, he's been really good in the ruck. The way him and Tom DeConing are combining with each other has been really good too. I think, Pitto's taken the brunt of the work and then he's allowing the fresh legs and, the real athleticism of TDK to flourish. The Twin Towers, we get to see how they go again, I think they've kicked 10 goals between them in the first two rounds, 9 obviously last week. I think tomorrow they could really let loose.
Another thing I saw too, just on some social chats, we all follow all the Carlton pages, but I think even Jack Silvani's been a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he's been very good.
And his numbers and work off the ball is out of this world.
Yeah, great point. I think his work off the board, it doesn't, the little blocks, just little things, he holds his feet when he needs to. He does a lot of one percenters and stuff behind the ball that goes a bit unnoticed. And then against the Hawks, I watched the Hawks play against Port Adelaide last week, and credit to them. They played a real good, quick brand of football, an exciting brand of football, but Port Adelaide weren't able to cut off their... All the Hawks were trying to do was just take the mark and play it on. I think with our new setup, with our new defence sort of and team-first sort of defence, the way we transition now, I think we're going to be all right. Like, you look at the stats, and stats can only tell you sometimes one side of the story. But Port Adelaide, they cleaned up in the stats department against Hawthorn. And I think with our midfield, I think we've... Yes, they've got a Brownlow medalist in Ollie Wines running through there, Travis Boak and that. But I think we've got now a bit more of a complete midfield. And I think that'll stand up against the Hawthorn. And big out being... Ben McAvoy, he went out with a neck fracture. So
that was
wishing him all the
but
best.
Here, the poor bugger, here, he's just come back from a neck.
Yeah. That's shocking. So, you never want to see players hurt
players
themselves
go down,
and stuff
no.
like that. It probably helps us because now Reeves will have to take the brunt of the load for Hawthorn. So I think we'll be able to match him there. So, look, it's going to be an interesting game. I can't wait. I really can't wait for it.
I must admit, watching the Hawks and Ports game last week, I was getting... I'm like, oh, Mel, we've got to be really confident. Like, we've got to be confident, but we can't take it for granted because they're a strong side.
Yeah, they are.
They're
definitely
a really strong side.
Last week, after the Hawthorn game, I actually started to look for my lid.
I was like, oh, where do I put my lid?
Well, we've been trying to keep it real, but it's not easy.
We deserve to enjoy it a little bit. Like, we've been down for so long. We really have. So to see everyone sort of enjoy it and have a little bit of carry-on, I think it's warranted. I think it is. So.
And I think it's great to see even, you know, the boys on the field, they're pumped.
Yeah.
You know, and you can even see training. Have you guys been watching the training clips?
Yeah, like, yeah,
you know, there's a different energy. There's a different vibe.
I've seen a picture of Vossi and stuff having a, I think he was having a laugh with Weeders or something like that. And I just thought, you know, like there's a good vibe down there.
I can't wait to see our forward 50 or forward half on the weekend tomorrow. I think our boys will be playing against Witches Hats, to be fair.
I honestly think we should be thinking four or more goals at least, at a minimum. It just, the way we played the first two rounds, if we just bring that again, I think we'll be all right. And it's the first time I actually feel confident, in a sense, like talking about the way we're playing. Because you hear the language out of what's coming out from the coaching staff and all that, and I've just got this I think they've got an instilled belief, and now I've got a bit of a belief in that they're going to do the right thing. They're going to go out, and you can see the trust in the players. You know, they're linking up, they're bringing more players involved.
And talking about that, we didn't mention Hewitt. Hewitt's been awesome.
He's been so underrated.
He's been
too.
So good, and it's not just like, yes, we can highlight Cripper as the superstar, but the support he's got around him is letting him be that superstar again. It's just,
I think,
incredible.
We said it last week. He's a really honest footballer. George Hewitt, you know what he's going to... He doesn't mind doing the harder, not the flashy sort of stuff. And that's what we've been asking for, someone to come in and do that sort of work, to take the pressure off Cripps, to take the pressure a little bit off Walsh. And finally, I think they've found the right sort of combination, now throwing Sarah back into the mix this week.
It's exciting times, guys.
Jesus, troubling when you... it's tough to pick your 3-2-1, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It's a great problem to have.
It is a great...
We haven't been in this position for a very long time.
Jack Martin misses out.
There's been some memes around the socials about the 95 grand final team lineup. Who's better, the current lineup or 95 grand final?
I think it's a bit early.
Early days.
It's
early
a bit
days.
Early.
Look, my lid's been fairly off.
If you win 16 in a row like the 95 premiership team did, maybe then you could start having some comparisons. But I think two games in, we'll get to finals, then we can compare them. But are they look like a football unit now. That's, I think, probably the one takeaway from that.
And we look like we've got a game plan, I think, which we've got some structure.
Yeah.
We've got a game plan, we've got some structure.
Yeah. You heard... Hive talk about it last week. He said that, you know, apparently there was some players that felt like they just couldn't understand the defensive game plan and what they were being taught. So it's good that the club in the end made the move and have got someone in that can teach that sort of defensive game plan.
It's such an exciting brand of footy on the field, isn't it? Like, I remember watching the game last weekend, and I mentioned my kids earlier, and during the game I looked over at them and there was a spark in them that I'd never seen before in their nearly 19 years. And I think it finally gelled why we love Carlton so much. And it was beautiful to see.
Oh, it was fantastic. Like, just walking around the ground after that round one clash, to see those young Carlton supporters, you know, like 23s or so, some that probably are 13, 10, 11, they haven't really seen too much. And seeing them, you know...
The excitement on their face.
It was brilliant. Like, and see, you know, people taking their families along to the footy as well, especially what Victoria have gone through in the last couple of years. It's been really tough. So to see that, you know, that's what the game's about. You know, that's why our game is so fantastic and why people love it.
And Simone, I think we'll just move on to some AFL and AFL.
Just some general AFL stuff that's been going on. Just touch on some points. It's been an interesting season so far, and of course, last night we saw Adelaide Showdown.
Wasn't that a cracker?
And our poor mate Cam from the show previous, who's a Port Adelaide supporter, was not too happy today. So what a great ending with Jordan Dawson kicking that goal. It was looking like it was going to miss.
I know.
And then it just went...
Beautiful little like, outswinger or something, or left...
I was like, yay, it's a behind.
Because
I tipped Port.
But it was a great kick, great pressure, mate. How's the free kick went to Lockie Murphy originally, and I don't know if he was injured or if they've just somehow milked that perfectly or whatever.
Well,
but
the guys just before us on camera was saying it was rigged, it was rigged.
It adds to the controversy, it adds to the rivalry.
I tell you what, it reminded me though, it took me back to two games here in Perth. Carlton and Freo.
Oh. we just have to bring these up for Sam every time we get a chance, don't we?
Like, it just took me back there because I don't know about you guys, for those two games, one with Murph just before the siren and the other one, and I remember being in tears because it looked like we were going to lose.
That was cracker.
It looked like we were going to lose, and then hello. So, yeah, so that's that. Last night's game brought me back to that. And, of course, this weekend we've also got the WA Derby. That'll be interesting to see because I'm a bit disappointed with how Freo's going. I thought they'd be a bit better than that.
They were terrible against the Saints
shocking.
Last week. They just
absolutely
gave up.
Shocking.
And I think the Eagles are fair going for the spoon.
They've been decimated with injuries and obviously the COVID protocols and stuff.
You know, it's going to happen, guys, and we've been talking about this COVID. It's going to strike teams down, and I think Freo are next on the list.
And look, credit to the Eagles and the boys that did play for that side last week. I know this is a blue show and stuff, but for those guys to get their first AFL opportunity, and, you know, they nearly had a crack at winning that game, but wasn't to be. But, yeah, credit to them.
Yep. What do you guys think about the protocols in that respect? I mean, I would hate, as much as I loved seeing the Eagles depleted, I would hate that to happen to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Gary Lyon mentioned that or someone. They were like, you know, the Eagles aren't going too great, but what happens if it happened to someone like Carlton who are going pretty well at the moment?
Yeah, that's right.
But they've set the precedent.
You've got your extra 20 players. Yeah. You've got to just work with what
Fossey
you've got.
Fossey got some pretty good points on it during his press conference midweek.
Well, I think as well, we've been in a bit of a bubble over here. So I think the protocols that the Victorian and Eastern State teams have been following are probably a lot stricter than what we've been over here. So, you know.
Well, apparently there's even apparently from what I've heard, Fremantle during you know, no showering at the club, other stuff like that. I even heard on one of the other shows this morning about whether West Coast had really been, you know, following strict
protocols
and
yeah.
stuff, where Freo seemed like they followed some.
Well, I certainly have heard that both clubs are hubbing somewhat.
Yeah.
So not connecting with friends and things like that to try and limit contracting the virus.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'd be interesting to see. Of course, everyone in WA loves the Derby. And also, just a quick touch on what's going on with Dustin Martin. Mm. He's on leave at the moment. And, of course, there was some April Fools going around yesterday.
That he'd retired.
Which
absolutely uncalled for.
This is the crap that
we do not need. No. It's just rubbish. Every player, I'm not a huge Dustin Martin fan myself, but no one needs to be copping crap like that on, you know, on the socials. Is just ridiculous. And, you know, thoughts out to Dusty, and I hope, you know, everyone gets behind him because it's a difficult time and mental health is so important to our players. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, there's been some exciting stuff with the AFLW, Mel.
I might just cover that off with Abby once we talk to Abby, because we just need to time to go for an ad break and get a few word from our sponsors. And when we return, we'll cross live to Carlton's first father-daughter selection, Abby McKay. Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sports FM, Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues presenters today, myself, Mel, Jessie and Simone. Time now to cross live for Carlton's first ever father-daughter selection, Abby McKay. Welcome, Abby, to Breakfast with the Blues.
Thanks, guys. How are you all?
Very well, thanks. Very well. Abby, we've got Jessie and Simone with us today, but before I let the panel ask you some questions, it's great talking to you again. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the possibility of the season commencing in August, just a few months after, you know, this season finishing. You know, how do you think that's going to go if it all goes ahead? Do you think it's going to affect trades, contracts, extensions and players' form?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure how it's going to work, to be honest. It's going to be a tight squeeze to get everything done in time. I think in the long run it's really good. You know, we all get our summer and we get time off when we would be getting time off with our other jobs as well. So it's beneficial in the long run. But yeah, this season, I don't know how the turnaround's going to go. I don't even know any dates or anything. I haven't heard anything. So yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround.
Morning, Abby. So this year probably was a little bit more of a disappointing year for the side as a whole, but is there any clear sort of things you're looking at working on through the next pre-season to implement into the team's game plan?
Yeah, I think we all just kind of need to practice working together a bit more, you know, understand each other's strengths and weaknesses, and especially in the midfield, we by the end of the season we were really starting to click, and I think the issue with the women's season, by the time everyone starts to get click, like I said before, the season's over. So it's a bit of a bummer with that in that sense. But yeah, I just think we just want to be able to work together better and understand each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Abby, I watched that last game. Well, I watched all the games, but that last game for me was just so exciting. It was like you say, you really gelled, and you know, to come back to one point, I thought you guys played fantastically.
Yeah, it was so good. We were like, we looked at the scoreboard at halftime and we thought, geez, we are seriously in this. And yeah, like you said, we were going so well. Like, we just knew where each other were and there was so much pressure around the ball. So yeah, it was probably our best game yet. That's the song.
Hi, Abby. It's Simone here. How are you going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. I've got a couple of daughters similar in age to you and they played footy, community footy. So I'm really keen to hear a little bit more about your playing journey from community footy through to AFLW. Like, what age did you start playing?
Yeah, so I started playing when I was about 14 or 15 at Paran Junior Football Club, which is near where I live. My mum just started up a little team with all my school friends, and yeah, it kind of went from there. I just got selected into Sandy Dragons, which is a NAB League team.
Yeah.
And then, you know, followed the generic pathway through to Vic Metro and then getting drafted out of the normal draft. So, yeah, I was a bit of a late comer, but it all worked out, so that was good.
14 or 15, and now you're on the big stage. Fantastic. And being the first ever father-daughter recruit, was there any doubt growing up which club you wanted to play for one day?
I don't think there was any doubt. I can't even imagine myself in any other team. Like, it wouldn't work. I wouldn't even know the song. I wouldn't know anything. So, yeah.
And it's funny,
girls come across from other teams and they don't know the song. I'm like, how do you not know the song?
It'd be etched in your brain, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
So my kids, as I mentioned, are similar in age to you. And so, you know, it's been a bit tough for them. The last 20 years or so, watching particularly the men. So what was it like growing up as a bagger in the McKay household over the last 20 years?
Yeah, look, we haven't had a lot of success, have we, in the last 20 years. But, yeah, to be honest, Carlton was just dad's work when I was a kid. We didn't follow it too closely, but as I went into my teens and stuff like that, I became a bit more of a supporter, and although we didn't win a whole lot of games, like I said, it was still awesome just to be around the club and, yeah, feel the atmosphere at a game and stuff.
Fantastic.
What's the impact of someone like Diesel Williams and also having Cade Simpson there as an assistant coach been like for the whole group and the playing squad?
Oh, it's been great. They have so much to teach us. Simo is, like you said, one of the line coaches, so he's really taught us everything, you know. Just little things, even though this season, like, we've worked on my kicking a lot. And, yeah, you just kind of back their opinion as well because they are so talented and have had so much experience, which is nice.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit about the new redevelopment of Icon Park there? Obviously, Stage 2 is still under construction and stuff, but what's it been like having the whole club sort of integrated into one now?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, our change rooms are next to the boys and they're the exact same, and I don't think that's the case at many other clubs, so it's been awesome. And yeah, the pools are about to be done, I think, and yeah, piece by piece everything's coming together. It's going to be amazing when it's done.
And you've also the new prez Luke Sayers, he looks like he loves getting involved down there. I've seen him do the banner for one of the home games as well. What's it like having you know, someone, the leader of the club, you know, throwing such massive support behind all of you girls.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, that's what it's what you want. You're not going to get anywhere if the head honchos aren't backing you. So it's awesome to have that at our club. And, yeah, it's something we don't take for granted, that's for sure.
Abby, I'm just going to touch on the off the side. Obviously, you've got your Best and Fairest coming up on Thursday this week. What a cracker of a lineup with the girls. Like, I mean, we've got Maddie and Georgia obviously being named in the under 22 All Australian side, and you've got Karen Harrington, Bree Mooney, and Mimi Hill in the 40 All Australian. How do you think? Who do you think is going to be front runner?
Oh God, it'd be tough to say. I think if Mimi didn't miss the game she missed, I think she'd be up there. Yeah, Kez will be in there. It's so hard to say, but yeah, we've got so many talented people at the club. It's really good just to know that we'll get somewhere, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And we also spoke last week on the show, and we were talking about the team spirit that you guys seem to have. You know, listening to some podcasts and, you know, seeing Darcy and, you know, so Maddie and everyone, just it seems like there's some really, really special spirit between you guys.
Yeah, we all get along so well. I mean, we're all so different as everyone is at different football clubs. And, yeah, we all get along. We have so much fun and respect for each other and love. It's really good.
Abby, what players do you think could go to the next level next year? That probably some players that go a little bit unnoticed from afar. Is there any particular that you think can go to that next level?
Someone that comes to mind is Keely. She's a great little player. She got a Rising Star nom this year, but she's just going to grow and grow and grow, and she's going to become a great midfielder. She's fit. She has the skills. She's got the knowledge. She learns so quickly. So, yeah, I definitely would watch out for her.
And how exciting was young Maddie Gruen?
Oh, yeah, Mads is a great player. She's so powerful. She knows where to get the ball, and she can just gain metres like no one else can. So a very good trait to have, that's for sure.
And, Abby, you played all 10 games. You had, you know, 138 disposals. You had a great season. Were you happy with your season?
Yeah, I was relatively happy. I thought I played pretty well across the board. I think my worst games weren't as bad as what they were, if that makes sense. I'm kind of closing the gap between my good games and my bad games, which is good. But with more training and experience, it'll come. I think I'm probably not at my potential yet, but, yeah, hopefully it comes soon.
We're excited,
sure
Abby. We're excited.
Sure. Absolutely. Do you have a personal highlight for the year, and also maybe a team sort of highlight for the year that stands out?
I think a highlight would be the Melbourne game, to be honest. I think we went in there serious underdogs, and we didn't win, but boy, did we stand our ground. And it was just such a nice ending to the season, and we were all so proud of ourselves, so it was awesome.
Half's press conference after that game, he said it was like a turning point for you guys, and he was so proud of the way you played. He must be so pumped, like going, even you guys, the momentum that you guys have, if it does go ahead for an August season, that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's actually beneficial in that regard. You know, like I said earlier, the season getting cut short is a bit of a bummer for the women, but considering that it's being brought forward, it's almost just like a break. He's a great coach, and he's teaching us so much. And like you said, there's so much momentum going into that game, and, yeah, it was awesome.
And did we have a pretty big postseason party, Abby?
Yeah, we had a very big postseason party. Everyone got COVID, so that was good.
No.
Everyone got a week off. But you know what? I say it's good we got COVID. Now we're immune for a couple of months.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've still got a cold, though. It lingers, doesn't it?
Yeah, you said it made you pretty crook.
Yeah. I wasn't, like, too crazily... I just had the worst headache, which was interesting.
I was going to just say, are you going to be playing any sort of VFLW at all, or any sort of stuff leading into the pre-season?
I don't think any VFLW, just because the season being brought forward has kind of meant they want us to have a bit more of a break before we go back into pre-season. I don't think many of the AFLW girls will be playing a whole lot of VFL.
And looking at the VFL, is there anyone that you think coming through, it looks like they're going to be a shining light or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, with all the expanding clubs, all of these VFL girls have a serious shot at getting drafted. So I can't wait to see. You know, Ali Beald is a great little player, and she is the captain of the VFL team, and she's a great person, and a club wants some good leadership. She's definitely one to go to.
I'll just touching on the actual AFL, how exciting has it been to see, you know, the men be two up, and what's the spirit like around the club? I'm sure everyone's all up and about.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's, every time I watch them as well, they're just playing great football, and I was watching it the other day and I thought we could learn a lot from their team. I can't wait to implement a few changes that they did into our team. That'll be great.
I was actually going to ask, do you guys get down to watch the men play, and also do you guys sort of interact when they're training, or with obviously protocols and stuff, COVID protocols, does that sort of not allow you guys to do that?
Yeah, COVID protocols has kind of limited that in the last few years, but now that all the restrictions are kind of lifting and stuff, I'm sure we'll see them around. We were all meant to go to the first game and all had COVID though, so couldn't go. I love going to watch the boys. I think it's awesome.
Has there been have you noticed any standout? Obviously, Cripper's sort of back to his best, but is there anyone for you that, like, you look forward to going and watching?
I think Matt Kennedy's just a great story.
Great call.
He came from, I don't even know, but, yeah, he came as an underdog, and now he's seriously in there as one of the top players at the club. So, yeah, I think he's an awesome player.
Abby, I'm still a bit dirty about the AFL shutting down in 2020, because I think our AFLW team had a good red-hot chance for a premiership that year. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I hope so.
But with that, we're just about to embark on the preliminary finals. Who do you think's going to win this weekend?
Oh, tough one. I think Rio will win Adelaide's 3A game.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's seriously tough. I reckon Melbourne maybe might get over the line. We'll see though.
I think Melbourne and Lions might be a tough match.
I think they could probably be in the granny if the fixture was done differently.
Yeah, probably could say that. I agree. I think Rio will come over the Crows. But let's see what happens this weekend.
Be an interesting
Yeah, exactly.
Weekend.
I can't wait to watch. So great it's at the G as well, one of the games. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is. And I bet it gives you a bit of an excitement thinking maybe we'll get a game there, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's good. All moving in the right direction, which is good.
And have you noticed, you know, we've got the other two teams coming in, you know, next year, well, this year, whenever it starts. There is a more growth. Like, I mean, I've been, whenever you guys come here, you know I'm always at the games. But the crowds we're getting, it's just getting bigger and bigger. Are you noticing a big difference and a big change?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just what's going to happen, isn't it? As the years go on, there's going to be more and more people. And it's so exciting when there's a crowd and there's a cheer. At the Frio game, there was a huge crowd behind the goals. And you can really feel it. And it's very exciting. So, yeah, I love it.
Talking about crowd, what did you make of the Buddy Franklin thing the other last Friday or whenever it was when he kicked his 1,000th and the whole crowd was streamed on?
I mean, you'd probably be a little bit scared of your buddy, but what an experience. That was awesome. I wish I was there. My brother was there.
He
said it was just awesome.
It's moments like that in footy that just makes you go, gives you goosebumps,
isn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
I think that was good for footy, having everyone on the ground, particularly
lovely.
After how much everyone suffered over the last couple of years with access to footy at all.
Exactly. I know, it was just great. I would imagine being him, you'd just be a memory for life, that's for sure.
How awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, Abby. Well, unfortunately, we do have to wrap it up there. But on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for being on the show with us once again and sharing your precious time with us. As always, go Blues.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Abby.
Thanks, Abby.
See ya.
Cheers.
See ya. Go Blues.
Bye. Go Blues.
Well, how good was that? Abby McKay.
Oh, very good. Very good. Speaks very well.
Yeah.
And very exciting times for the AFLW.
Yeah, it is. I think they can have a real, real good crack at it next season.
And, we've got we were lucky to have Abby again. She spared her time again with us. So, really good.
They're always fun interviews. Every girl that we've had on the show in the last few years they've all brought their little cool sort of interesting things about the club and what have you. So, yeah, it's good.
And when I was talking to Abby, a little while, like a couple of weeks ago, trying to prep this up, was when she had COVID, and boy, she sounded rusty.
Yeah.
So we're lucky we got through the season, and that's what I'm talking about with our protocols. So we're lucky that Carlton has really had a good contingency plan, because the girls were so subjected on so many different levels.
Bit unfortunate to get it on a Mad Monday, though, isn't it? You'd be like, damn it.
According to Abby, it wasn't just a Mad Monday. It was a mad week.
Oh, okay, really? So one of those ones?
It was indeed.
Oh, good on them.
Good on them. They deserve it. But it's time again to go for a break and get a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we throw to our regular segment, The Shirt Front, live with the one and only David the Hyphen Reese Jones, as we preview the next the game against the Hawks. Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now that we give a very warm welcome to our great mate here at Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man who personifies everything that bleeding blue means, as we barrel shoulder first into the shirt front. I speak, of course, none other than the Hyphen, David Reese Jones. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Great to be here. Knocked off two of the premiership favourites, and two from two. It's looking pretty good at the moment.
Dave, I'm just going to quickly jump in before we start talking about the Hawks. Can you give us an update of how the Vic's All-Stars went last week down in Tassie, and how many goals Fev kicked?
Yes.
Fev was off target, actually. Normally, he only played half a game. He'd come down to help him out, and he had to actually jump on a plane and get called back to Melbourne. So, but did very well, and did what Fev does, entertains the crowd. So, it was all good, and the Vic's won too. So, very well coached.
Very well coached, yeah. Of course.
One eye on the form guide and one eye on the board. me going all day, so... Yeah, a busy day. But it was all good for a good cause, and they raised a bit of money down there at Huonville down in the south of Tasmania.
Morning, Hyfe. How do you reckon it's going to go, seeing the engine room finally for the first time with Walsh, Cripper and Sarah running through there? We were talking a bit earlier, like, it should be pretty exciting to see them three finally lace up in the navy blue.
Yeah, exactly. And look... Walsh, he got a bit of the ball last week, but I thought he's a little bit rusty at times, just not as polished as he normally was. So I think he's only going to improve from the hit out last week. And, it's, Chera back in there. He's a real star. And, I think the strength of our midfield and team at the moment, when Jack Barton can't come straight back in from his COVID sort of thing, I think that sums it all up. And, we've got a bit of depth. We had a good win in the reserves in our first game. I think they won by 42 points and had a lot of good contributors too. So things are looking good at the moment. And someone actually said to me from the club this week, she said, "Oh, I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves." I said, "We can get ahead of ourselves. It's the players who can't get ahead of themselves." So yeah, very exciting for the fans though.
We were talking just a little bit earlier, but I think with McDonald and McGovern out, they were just starting to hit their straps. How do you think that's going to affect us down there?
Oh, look, the kid Young, he was very unlucky not to play in a grand final team last year, and so he comes into the team and he's been in good form as well. So it's going to be good to see him playing. Plowman, we know, is pretty reliable back there and has been for a long time, and also of course we've got Weeders back there. So they've got a pretty young forward line. I know they've got Gunston, Wingard, and Bruce, but the others are pretty young and raw down there. So I think we can handle them, and hopefully the ball doesn't get down there too often, and it's in our forward line more than it is theirs.
Do you think someone like Will Setterfield might play a little bit more of a defensive wing role
tomorrow, with and maybe we have push Harry up on that left side wing a little bit more higher up the ground? Or do you think the the structure and stuff should just keep it the way it's going, and it should hold up in good stead?
Yeah, I think the game style they're playing at the moment is terrific, and it's allowing us to score, and more importantly, it's allow us to defend pretty solidly. So, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Hawthorn. They had a great win last week against Port Adelaide, and no one saw that coming. But I think we should have a good four-quarter win. I'd like to just see us have a solid win, you know, win each quarter sort of thing, even if we only win by a goal or two each quarter. Win each quarter and just have a solid win and just sort of stamp your authority on the game and let people know that we're, you know, the Carlton Footy Club's back.
Yeah, I agree. And we're starting to slowly build that sort of consistency, and we talked about it a bit last week, and obviously you know, we basically were in front of against the Bulldogs for majority of the game, so we're starting to see those little bit of consistency in those footsteps going forward. I guess tomorrow is a real good test of whether we can just keep it up.
Yeah, and people were talking about, you know, obviously the Bulldogs missed a few shots at goal last week, and as I said to a couple of people, well, hang on a minute, if they had to kick the goal, the ball goes back into the middle, and that's where we were smashing them. So, while you say, you know, kicking those points might have cost them, putting the ball back into that mid, you know, I mean, we really did dominate in there. So it would have given us first hands on the ball and probably a chance to attack ourselves.
Did you think in the Bulldogs game, do you think this week that we've just seen, what did you think about the umpiring on that one?
I'm not a favourite of the umpires, you know that. And,
it was a
yeah.
Shocker.
Look, I don't think, you know, and I watched the game the other night, the Bulldogs and Swans, and a lot of Swan supporters got on. But watching the game unbiased, I saw a couple of you know little ones there, but you know that could have gone, you know, the Bulldogs' way, but it didn't sound as bad as what, you know, people getting on you know, socials and sort of really...
They really pumped it up.
...the umpires. And yeah. When you look at it, and we always look at, you know, every free kick we get against us, and we don't think it should be paid. So, no different to anyone else. But, look, very rarely do umpires affect the result of a game.
Hype, did you obviously saw the Hawks Port game? What did you think? I actually thought Hawks were looking really good. I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah, look, and the funny thing was, I mean, the Port Adelaide, the better players were able to get a fair amount of the ball too. So, but the way they were able to come off the back line, Hawthorn, and set it up from there, they've got a different type of game plan, and that's something that I think exposed Port Adelaide and something that I dare say Bossy and the coaches would have had a good look at it, and because it was very effective. You know, as soon as the ball got into the half back line, Hawthorn half back line, they just really went into action then and had a clear plan on getting the ball down forward and scoring, and it was very impressive.
The Hawks seem to play a lot off instinct. It looked like Sam Mitchell has got them going with mark and play on at all costs sort of game. I think if we can nullify them moving the ball quickly, we should look at holding them at bay a bit. But also, I was going to say, you know, on that game as well, Port Adelaide, if you look at the stats, we were saying it before, you know, like they just about beat the Hawks in every single area on the field. I just feel... with our side at the moment, I think we can have a bit more of an effect, especially coming out of midfield and capitalise a bit more on those opportunities.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the key forwards, you know, obviously getting 9 goals between them, or 11 if you include Silvani's couple, but between them last week, I think it's going to pose a few more problems than the Port forward line did. So, hopefully, you know, Harry can clunk a few and Charlie can sort of zip in and do his, you know, very athletic the way he goes about things. And even that first goal he got in the first, what was it, 10, 30, 30 seconds or whatever the game, I still don't know why he played on. it's just it's his instinct and you know, he's one of those players, I think you just got to let him go and let him attack that play and go, you know, do it the way he can. And he would have gained a lot of confidence, mate. I think we mentioned last week that, you know, it'd be good to see him get a bit of confidence, and no doubt he'll come into this game and he'll be cock-a-hoop. And, he'll very hard player to stop because of his athleticism.
And I think after the 10-day break, he's going to have fresh legs. I think he's going to be good to go.
Oh, yeah, I think they all should be, you know, and they'll be excited too, because it's when you're winning games of football, it's good. You know, I mean, you've got a completely different attitude. Going to training, you know, a bit of laughter around the place. Everything's just up and going. So I'm sure they'll go into this game full of confidence, and hopefully they can take another step.
It was nice actually to see Charlie sort of rove and crumb a few goals as well. I think talk about confidence, like to be able to do that for such a big boy, and that should give him heaps of confidence. But also then to have people like always, you know, being able to jump and bring the board down to ground, and then we've got our pressure forwards, it's starting to look like a real sort of lethal forward line down there.
Well, I think the one thing you can say is that they're having a red hot go at it at the moment, and it's one thing, you know, it doesn't matter win, lose or draw, you just want your team to have a crack, and they're certainly doing that. And as you say, you know, Owies and Durden down there, they've been terrific with their pressure of that. And as you say, getting up and spoiling the ball and bringing the ball to deck and just the little things you don't expect from the smaller players, but they've all got it, got a good attitude at the moment, playing a good style of football.
Talk about cracking in. Mark Pitternet seems to have has cracked in the first 2 weeks of the round, of the season. He loves putting his body on the line. He doesn't mind, you know, putting it on the shepherds or the blocks. He's a real good team player for us, I think.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned, you know, leading up to round one against Richmond, he really had a crack at in that last practice match at Maxi Gorn, and you know, as I said, we dominated that in the midfield in that game. And they're probably the standout midfield combination in the competition. But one thing I like was Pitters didn't get pushed around at all. He kept going back at him, would have the least broken even if not the Massey Gorn on that day. And you know, those big guys, they do take a little bit more time. And he's coming into his own now. And young Tom DeConnings, you know, good. Backup for him as well.
Hi, on tomorrow we get to farewell Eddie and Mark Murphy as their proper farewell tributes. I know you're going to be at the ground nice and early with our fellow panellists Chris and Craig. Do you think that with the farewell, that's going to give the boys more inspiration, or do you think they're already up and enough about that, you know?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think those sort of things come into account. It's always good to see, you know, the players out there, and I'm sure that, you know, they'll be fondly welcomed in, but this is a new team now and with a new attitude, and I think they don't really need that. So, it'll be good to see them, you know, parade around, and both great servants of the Carlton Football Club, but... you know, there's other people stepping up now and taking that mantle.
Hopefully Eddie doesn't wear his Geelong polo.
Yeah, well, you don't know, do you? I'm sure. It's funny, even when he went to the Crows, I remember seeing him at a game one time, and he was surrounded by Carlton people, and he's always been a Carlton person, you know, in the back of his mind sort of thing. Always had a love for us, anyway.
Yeah, he certainly has. He's a great spokesperson for our club as well, I think. Like, hopefully he can get back down there, and maybe in a few years' time, once he develops his coaching craft, because I think, you know, you see the likes of the way Durden's playing at the moment. We've got Josh Honey down there as well. Obviously, Matty Owies, Jesse Motlop now. I think hopefully he's worth investing back into the club later on down the track.
Yeah, quite often, it's always good to go to another club and have a look around and see, because they've got different ideas and different things rather than the same thing you've had, you know, drummed into you over years and years sort of thing. So, that'll be a good outlook for him. And if Eddie wants to continue on coaching in that sort of sphere, it'd be great to get him back one day and, show these... Well, magic, I suppose, is what I'm trying to get at.
Mm.
He was a freak. He was a freak.
Well, unfortunately, Hyph, we do have to wrap it up there. But from us in here, we hope you have an awesome lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, have a great day tomorrow.
It should be good. Yeah, everything's going to plan so far. Although I didn't have a care or a wife today, but hopefully they turn up tomorrow. But, we should be good, and it'll be good to catch up with Chris.
And try and keep Chris and Craig in check, please, because I know they're...
Oh, I'll keep them there. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Hi, from all of us over here who bleed blue, we'd just like to thank you again for giving up our time and being on the show. Cheers from all the WA Blues, and we'll talk soon.
No worries. Go Blues.
Go Blues. Go Blues. Cheers, Hyph.
Hyph, as always.
Awesome.
Cracker.
Sorry, guys, I was just going blank.
That's okay.
I was coming up with questions and then one of you would talk and then I'd like, oh.
The best thing we do, we don't write questions.
No, we don't. We just...
Because I'm looking at my questions and I'm going, this shit.
I love it.
We've just got to continue to promote our upcoming events. We have our upcoming event on Saturday, the 10th of April, the Gold Coast Suns game at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. Bounce down is 2:10 p.m. And please note that all WA protocol, COVID protocols will be in play. And yes, Jesse.
Mm.
We know you're going to get your roast beef roll.
I love those roast rolls. They're awesome.
And we can't forget, on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd of April, we have our big function at the Campfield. This one is always a cracker. It's a gold coin donation. Pre-match function will be starting at 2:30 through till 5, with bounce down at 5:40. We have, for the Frio function, we've got some awesome raffle prizes. We've got an awesome raffle prize, which is the Patrick Cripps signed jumper. Tickets are $5 each or 3 for 10. That one is framed by Blair and Maria Buckingham at Master Picture Framers in Cannington. And the auction will also be Eddie Burt's signed jumper with, obviously, a certificate of authentication, also donated by Blair and Maria Buckingham at Master Picture Framers. We can't forget to mention our end-of-season raffle, which, with first prize, being the 1995 Premiership Players signed Guernsey by Earl Sporting and Matt Clappe. Quite excitingly too, we've got Earl on the show in a couple of weeks as well, so we'll be having a chat to him about that. Second prize are two guest seats in the Hyundai VIP suite at the RAC Arena. We've got a few other runner-up prizes, but we are running out of time. But tickets are $10 each, and it will be drawn at the last function of the year. So, guys, thank you very much for a great show.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
And
thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on, Simone.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the first show.
Do we have a quick prediction before we all leave the show for tomorrow's game?
18 points for me.
I reckon it's going to be 9.
I'm going 6 goals.
6 goals, Jesse?
6 goals.
I'm confident.
And we'd also like to thank our great mate David Rhys-Jones and special guest Abby McKay. So, everyone, keep listening to 91.3. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues. Have fun tomorrow, Chris and Craig.
Have a great one, guys. And they will know that they've been playing against the fans.